Leviticus chapter 23. You know, there's been a lot of hype going on in prophecy news about a rapture occurring in the next 3 days. And so some people may be asking, why is all this hype going on? Why September 21st, 22nd, 23rd? What's the big deal about these dates? Well, tomorrow is the Feast of the Trumpets, and we're going to be looking at that feast tonight in the Bible and what the Bible says about that. But another reason is on the 23rd, they're saying that there's some kind of alignment of sun, moon, stars. That's fulfillment of Revelation 12. But I just don't, I don't see that at all as far as Revelation 12 theory at all. And but, you know, I was just thinking, because of all this talk about it and, you know, people are wondering, I thought this is a good time to just do a study in the Feast of Trumpets. And as I've done this study the past 3 days, I tell you, it's got me excited about the rapture. I mean, I am definitely excited about it. And, you know, the Bible, what does it teach us about the rapture? It teaches us to watch. And be ye ready, for you know not the day or the hour. I mean, we don't know when the time is. We really don't. However, you know, we are called upon by the Lord to watch, to keep our eyes open, to be ready. And did you know the Lord could come tomorrow? He could come tonight. I mean, you know, any time. And, you know, we need to be ready for the Lord. And that's so important. I was just, if you hold your place there and turn to Matthew 24, I was just reading Matthew 24 earlier today, just some of what Jesus said about the end times. And he said in verse 42, Matthew 24, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." And he said in verse 43, "But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And, you know, it's very important that we heed the words of Jesus. And I just want to say tonight, before we begin looking at the Feast of the Trumpets, that I am not making any kind of prediction of the rapture. I am not going to do that. I don't believe that we can do that and be scriptural. But we can learn something from this study tonight of the Feast of Trumpets. But here in Leviticus 23, if you'll look in verse 1 and 2, at the beginning of this chapter that deals with these seven feasts that the Lord gave to his people Israel in the Old Testament. He says in verse 1, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feast." I want to just stop there just for a moment, because we're going to just do a little background study on these words and what they mean. And then we'll be looking at this chart a little bit later in the message tonight that I've given you. But the word feast here does not mean food. And so when you're reading these verses, or in this chapter, when it comes to the word feast, it's not talking about food. This word, Hebrew word, moed, here's what Strong says. It means an appointment, a fixed time or season, an appointed sign or time. And I want you to know that these seven feasts, they're not just God's appointed time for Israel to observe these special feasts, but I believe with all my heart that these feasts are part of God's prophetic calendar. I really do, because when you look at this right here, and as we will do a little bit later, all the spring feasts have already been fulfilled on those very days and times, and which spoke of Christ's first coming, and the three remaining feasts that have not been fulfilled prophetically concerning Jesus' second coming will also be fulfilled one day. And so when we look at these feasts, they're God's appointed times. That word feast means, is I'll say again, an appointment, an appointed sign, an appointed time. And so it's kind of like these feasts give us God's prophetic calendar, how God's going to send his Messiah and redeem his people. Why seven? Why are there seven feasts? You know, in the Bible, seven is significant. This number, it is tied to completeness or fullness. Remember, God rested on the seventh day after creation, and not because he was tired, but because his work was complete. He was fully satisfied with it. You know, this cycle of seven-day week is something that has provided the basis for Israel's worship all through, and even our worship as Christians today. You know, not just the seventh day, but there's a seventh month. And in fact, all of these fall feasts that you see here that are not fulfilled take place in the seventh month on the Hebrew calendar. We're not talking about our calendar. We're talking about the Hebrew calendar. In the seventh month, all of these feasts take place. There's some significant about not just the seventh day, but about the seventh month. And then we have these seven feasts. And there's also the seventh year that he talks about in the Old Testament, that all the land was to rest in the seventh year. And then there's also the year of Jubilee, the 50th year, which comes following seven cycles of 7 years. Now, here's something just interesting I'm going to throw out. This is why a lot of people are hyping up about tomorrow being Feast of Trumpets, because this particular year of 2017 is also a Jubilee year. The last Jubilee year was in 1967. And you know, 1967 was the Six-Day War when Israel gained control of Jerusalem. It was a very significant time in prophetic history, really. And but this year is also a Jubilee year. And you know, Jubilee, what happens during the Jubilee year? Well, the land was returned back to its owner. You know, when people had to, because they went into debt or something like that, they had to give up or sell their land. But in the Jubilee year, everything went back to its owner. And you know, it's interesting because one day this earth's going to go back to its owner. It's going to go back to God. And so that's one thing that I found interesting about this year. There are a lot of other things that I don't want to spend time on, but I want to look at what the Bible says here. The word convocation, you see in verse 2, or convocations, this is a Hebrew word, mikra, and it means something called out. This is what Strong's dictionary tells us, something called out, such as a public meeting or a rehearsal. I thought that was interesting because it's almost like these feasts are dress rehearsals for what is to come. You know, for thousands of years, these Jews were observing these feasts, and they were doing these dress rehearsals, preparing for the Messiah, first and second coming, and which the first has been fulfilled. So I thought that was kind of interesting in the meaning of the word convocation, something called out, a public meeting. And I want you to notice something else in verse 2. The Lord said, these are my feast. These are not just Jewish feasts. He said, these are my feast, the Lord's feast. And remember, what does the word feast mean? Appointed times. He's saying, these are my appointments. These are my appointed times. And so I want you to realize that these feasts are divine appointments. And it's significant in prophecy. You know, as I mentioned, that that word dress rehearsal. I believe that these seven feasts are dress rehearsals for what is to come. I want you to turn now. If you can hold your place here, we'll come back. But if you'll go to Colossians in the New Testament, Colossians, let's go to chapter 2, Colossians 2, verse 16 and 17. Colossians 2, verse 16 and 17. You know, on the chart here, that's not a King James verse. I'm sorry about that, but this is the only good chart I could find. I don't know what version that is, but anyway, we're going to look at what the Bible says. And he says in verse 16, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." So notice that he's talking about these holy days or the new moon. You know, the Feast of the Trumpets, it starts on the beginning of the new moon, right after the fall equinox. And so that little tiny sliver of new moon, that's when this Feast of Trumpets begins, and so it's a new moon. So here he tells us these things, what are they? A shadow of things to come. They point us to Christ and his coming. And so as we look at these feasts in Leviticus 23, these seven feasts, they're like rehearsal. They're appointed times. They point to the coming of the Messiah and the redemption of man. Now, we're going to look back in Leviticus 23. We're going to look at just the observance of the Feast of Trumpets. This is the only one we're going to focus on tonight, is the Feast of Trumpets, which, by the way, tomorrow is the Jewish Feast of Trumpets. There's supposed to be that new moon starting tomorrow, maybe even tonight, I believe, because the Jewish time starts at 6 p.m. and goes on to 6 a.m. And so, anyway, we look here back in chapter 23, verse 23. This is where he begins to talk about this Feast of Trumpets. He said, "And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." So this biblical feast that we're looking at here, this is the fifth feast. And I want to just say this, these four feasts that you see, these four spring feasts, Passover and unleavened bread, first fruit, and Pentecost have all been fulfilled. They are spring feasts. And there's 4-month period between Pentecost and the Feast of Trumpets. So there's a 4-month period. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. But this Feast of Trumpets, I want to just write a couple of words up here just for your information. But this feast in Hebrew is called Yom Teruah. And what this simply means, Day of Trumpets. And so the word teruah is a trumpet. And it's the word used here, the Hebrew word that's used here in verse number 24, where it says a blowing of trumpets. It's using this word teruah. And the Strong's tells us that teruah is, it's a war cry. It's a call for war. It's an alarm. It's a sound of trumpets. In this particular piece, a shofar, which would be a ram's horn, was what was used. It was blown during this time, this feast, and calling the faithful to 10 days of repentance. Because from the time of this feast to the next feast, which is the Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur, this is the Day of Atonement, there's 10 days. There's 10 days in between. And the Jews called these 10 days the days of awe. during these 10 days was a day that they were to spend in repentance. They were to spend examining their lives, preparing for judgment, because they always looked at Yom Kippur as a time of judgment. This was the Day of Atonement. And I'm not going to go into all the history of what the Jews did during this time, but they actually believed that the books were open during the days of awe, that the book of life was open and all that. Your sins, you know, during this time that you would repent. If you didn't repent by Yom Kippur, it's too late. Now, that's just a Jewish tradition, okay? That's not what comes from the Bible, so it's not really that important. We know that salvation's in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not of our works, but it's significant, though, that during this time, though, it was this theme of repentance, preparing for judgment, preparing their hearts, these days of all. People were to contemplate their standing with God. It was a very special, special time. And during these 10 days, the high priest would go into hiding in the temple. He would go into a hiding place. He would keep himself apart from the people, preparing for the Day of Atonement. I thought that's interesting that he goes off into that place. But anyway, I'm just kind of giving the biblical observance of this feast. And after the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, this would be after Christ, okay? This is after Christ went back to heaven somewhere around 33 AD is when he died, they say. So you go 70 AD, that was when Jerusalem was destroyed. That was when the diaspora took place, where all the Jews were scattered out of Israel. And they remained scattered until 1948 when they came back into the land. So during that time, from 70 AD on, this particular feast we're looking at tonight, Yom Teruah, they changed it to this, Rosh Hashanah. Let me make sure I spell that right. Let me look at the... And Rosh Hashanah means, basically, what it means is head of the year. And this was like a new year. And it's confused some people because you know that Passover was the first month. God said, this is going to be the beginning of your months. Passover, Nisan was their first month. 14th day was Passover. But that was their religious calendar. That was the beginning of their religious year. But their civil year began on this particular time right here. Their political civil year took place at the very Day of Trumpets. This was what they called the head of the year. And what has happened over the years, because there's no temple. The temple's been destroyed in AD 70. Even to this day, there's no temple. So the Jews, the emphasis today has been on New Year. Not on the trumpets, not on celebrating as the Bible, as the Old Testament taught. And so the emphasis today, they have a meal and they greet everyone. They say, Happy New Year, kind of what we do on January the 1st. And so that's how the Jews observe this today. But looking here in these verses in Leviticus 23, it's very simple and straightforward that Israel's commanded to blow trumpets, to remember this day by blowing of trumpets and keep it as a Sabbath of rest. They were to do no servile work in it. They were to rest. And according to Jewish history, this is the only feast day when the shofar is blown 100 times. And they said that they're blown in set pattern of three different sounds, three times each, for a total of 9 blasts. This series of patterns repeated 11 times for a total of 99 blasts. And then there's the 100th blast, which is set apart. And get this, the 100th blast is called the last trump. I thought that was pretty interesting, just reading about the Jewish history, because, you know, Paul said, at the last trump. He talks about the rapture, about Jesus coming at the last trump. And there was an offering made by fire also during this time. So that kind of gives you a little bit about the biblical observance. There's a historical commemorative role that these feasts played, but also there's prophetic. There's prophetic role. And let's look at this chart. Look at the Passover. You see the spring feast, Passover. It was fulfilled at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And you can even look in 1 Corinthians 5:7, where Paul said that Christ is our Passover. He is our Passover. He is the Passover lamb. He's the one that has set us free. And when we have the blood of Jesus Christ covering our sins, the Lord's going to pass over us in judgment. Amen? Just like he did over Israel in the Exodus. And so the Passover was fulfilled. And believe it or not, the very day that Jesus died on the cross was on Passover. He died on that feast day, on Passover. And then, you know, the next day starts the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He was in the grave, buried. You know, leaven speaks of corruption. You know, David in Psalm 16:10 talks about that his body would not suffer corruption, speaking of his resurrection. And so the Feast of Unleavened Bread was fulfilled in his burial. And then the Feast of First Fruits, which was 2 days later after that feast, was his resurrection, the third day when he was resurrected. He's the first fruits of them that rose from the dead. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 15. And so Christ fulfilled that one at his resurrection. You can read those scriptures there, 1 Corinthians 15:20 through 23. And then you count 50 days, and you come to Pentecost. Remember, the disciples prayed in the upper room for 10 days. And then, you know, Jesus appeared. Well, before that, he appeared 40 days, and then they prayed for 10 days, and then the Holy Spirit came. On the day of Pentecost, on the feast of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon the church. And so that feast also was fulfilled. And so those spring feasts, they rehearsed the first coming of Jesus Christ. They spoke about his first coming. And they have all been fulfilled. Now here's the interesting thing. As I said, there are 4 months between Pentecost and trumpets. It was summer harvest. 4 months of summer harvest. You know, if you look on your chart here, it says feast gap fulfilled by church age. We're in harvest time, are we not? Did not Jesus say, lift up your eyes, look on the harvest field, they're wide under the harvest? And you know, it's interesting that what he said in John 4, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. I don't know why he said 4 months, but I'm telling you, there are 4 months of harvest, summer harvest, between these feasts. And then the trumpet would sound and harvest would end. It would be over. And so what the Feast of Trumpets signaled, it was time for the workers to come home. It was time for them to come into the house of the Lord and at this blowing of trumpets. I love what Zola Levitt, he's now with the Lord, but he was a Jewish believer in Christ, and this is what he wrote. The trumpet was the signal for the workers to come into the temple. The high priest actually stood on the southwest parapet of the temple and blew the trumpet so that it could be heard in the surrounding fields. At that instant, the faithful would stop harvesting, even if there were crops, and leave immediately for the worship service. So I think it's interesting as you look at these arrangement of feasts and you look at how things are. We're in that time of harvest right now. We're waiting. What is the next thing we're waiting for? We're waiting for the rapture. We're waiting for it to come. We're waiting for Jesus to call us home at that last trump when it sounds, and we'll be caught up with him. And so the fall feast, they speak of the second coming of Jesus Christ. The trumpets you see here speak of the rapture and resurrection of believers. The Day of Atonement speaks of the second coming of Jesus. This is at the end of that seven-year tribulation period, at the end of that great tribulation. And then the tabernacles is going to be fulfilled in the Messianic age. But so these feasts, they symbolize what's still ahead, these fall feasts. Do you realize that we're between the already and the not yet? Between the Messiah's first coming and his second coming. That's where we are right now. I want you to look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In verse 16 and 17. These familiar verses dealing with the rapture. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So it talks about here the trump being sounded. And so here you can see the little correlation. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, there's another rapture passage in verse 51. He says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." And by the way, the rapture was a mystery because in the Old Testament, it wasn't just openly revealed. I mean, the Old Testament prophets didn't write about it. They wrote about the second coming of Messiah to earth, but not about this event of the rapture. And so he calls it a mystery. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed." So a trump's going to signal that event known as the rapture. The trump is going to call us up. And you know, this feast is unique compared to all these other feasts that other six feasts, because the other feasts, you know, as they're celebrated in their months, the moon is bright. But in this particular feast, it occurs on the first day of the month at the new moon. And so it's dark, just that little sliver of moon. So it's a dark time. There's something that I've discovered, and after this diaspora of Jews, when they were dispersed out of Jerusalem, out of Israel, into other lands, they begin to celebrate Rosh Hashanah, or Yom Teruah. They begin to celebrate this in 2 days. And so, actually, it would be, the reason why it was 2 days celebration instead of one is because they never knew when that sliver of moon was going to show up. And, you know, there'd be people all over the world, Jews all over the world. So this gave them a time frame where they could celebrate this feast in these different time zones. And this is what it became known as. It became known as the one long day. And so first and second of this month, seventh month, was used to celebrate this feast. But there's another interesting thing about what they called this, the hidden day. They called it the hidden day feast, or the day of hiding, Yom Hakasha. And as I was reading about this, history about this, and the reason is because They didn't know. It just depended on the year, the time, the place where that sliver moon would show up. So they never knew if it was going to happen that first or second day, or in the middle of it, or morning, even what. So they called it the hidden day. And in fact, they even used terminology about you don't know the day or the hour, just kind of like what Jesus used. We don't know the day or the hour that the Lord would come. You know, that's interesting. You know, looking at some of this history. But I will say that we can't say with definite surety that the rapture will happen on this feast day. You know, I think it's interesting that it is called the hidden day. You don't know the day or the hour. That's exactly what Jesus said about the rapture, did he not? Amen. You don't know the day or the hour. To me, it almost makes sense that it would happen on a feast day like this, because all the others happen on the feast day. It would almost make sense. I mean, it could be that way. I can't tell you with definite surety. I don't know. But looking at these feasts and how they're fulfilled, I mean, it would almost seem like that. But we don't know what's here. We don't know if it's going to be this year or the next year or the next year. Again, it all comes back to this. We don't know the day or the hour. But we should be watching. We should be prepared for this. You know, back in the Old Testament day, the trumpet was used not just on this feast day. It was used in all their worship. It was used for different reasons. One reason was to call an assembly together before the Lord. They would call the people together with a trumpet or with a shofar. They would also use it to sound an alarm for battle. Like the watchman watching on the wall, they would have a particular sound on that shofar to alarm the city that danger is coming. They would also use it when they would crown a new king. And there are scripture references for all those I could give you. But because of our time, I don't have time to go to those verses. But I want you to think about those things. The trumpet is used to gather an assembly before the Lord. That's what we see in the rapture. The trumpet is going to be used to call us up, to assemble before the Lord. The trumpet's going to be used because once this rapture takes place, you know what's going to happen next? The 7-year tribulation. During that time frame, God's going to once again deal with the nation of Israel. There's going to be a covenant made. The Antichrist is going to make with the nation. He's going to break that covenant halfway through that 7 years. The last tap is the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. When Jesus comes to earth, you know, Paul tells us in Romans 11, all Israel shall be saved. You know, at that time when Jesus comes to deliver Israel, they're going to be saved. That's the Day of Atonement. That's what the Day of Atonement points toward. When Israel's a nation is going to, they're going to be redeemed. And then they're going to enter into that kingdom, which is the millennial kingdom the Feast of Tabernacles talks about. You know, tabernacles, you know, God, that's what God's always wanted, to tabernacle with his people, to dwell with his people. During the millennium, he will dwell with his people. He will live on this earth with his people during those 1,000 years. You know, the sound of a battle alarm, I think about that one. That day, of that time of Jacob's trouble, this trumpet's going to herald that day. It's going to herald that alarm of judgment, of the wrath of the Lamb that's going to come on the earth. You know, I believe there's also going to be a trumpet when Jesus comes to this earth. There's going to be a trumpet that herald the King as he comes as Lord of Lords, King of Kings. You know, again, I say tonight that the purpose of this study is not to predict any date, not to say that the rapture is going to happen tomorrow on the Feast of Trumpets, but I'm just saying this is what this feast points to. So as we enter this Feast of Trumpets tomorrow, here's what it should do for us. It should cause us to watch. It should cause us to pray for our lost loved ones. It should cause us to witness. It should cause us to get our life right with the Lord, just like the Jews did during the days of old. I mean, it was a time of repentance, a time of getting their hearts right with the Lord. That's what we should be doing. Because the Lord could come any time. What if he did come? Are you ready?
Amen.
I'm glad there are some ready. But you know, I'm afraid not everyone here would be ready. Amen. You know, some may not be saved. Some may not be living for the Lord. Listen, remember, the Lord's going to reward His faithful. His faithful servants. Are we faithful? Are we serving the Lord? Are you walking with Him? Are you sure that you're saved? You know, before we close this, I want you to look in one more passage. We're going to close with 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm just going to read just a couple of verses there. Just want to make a couple of comments. 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at verse 1. He said, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." But I want to skip to verse 4. He said, "But ye, brethren, you're not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all children of light and children of day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." So he tells us what we should do, and he tells us that this day should not overtake us as a thief. You know, as I stopped and thought about that, you know, he's only going to come as a thief to a dead church. If you read Revelation, the letter, Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, to that dead church there, he said, "I will come on you as a thief. I will come on you as a thief." To the lukewarm church, he even says that to the church of Laodicea. If you don't repent, return the first word, "I will come on you as a thief." You know, Matthew 24, 48 and 50, he comes as a thief to that evil servant. That evil servant that began treating all of his fellow workers wrong and going into drunkenness and all this. He's going to come as a thief to those that are not prepared. That's what I'm saying. He said, "This day should not overtake us as a thief." It shouldn't be a shock and say, "Oh, I wasn't ready, Lord." We should be ready. We should be ready at all times so that day doesn't overtake us as a thief. You know, I told you that was going to be the last verse I was going to read. I want to read one more. Jeremiah 8, verses 7 through 9. Jeremiah 8, 7 through 9. I'm just going to read. I'm not going to turn. I've got it in my notes. He says, "Yea, the stork in heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord." My people know not. Do we know? We don't know the day of the hour, no, but we know it's coming. Are you ready? Are you ready for that appointed time when that trumpet sounds? You know, that's what I can say. When I hear these people making all these predictions, I know that a lot of times I've seen it over and over again. It didn't happen like they predicted. The Lord's going to come in an hour that they think not. That's what He said. But here's what we need to do. We need to be ready. You know, the sad thing is what happens is, here's what breaks my heart, is that when these things like this happen, people say, "Oh, He's going to come on this day. You better be ready. It's going to be this day, this time, this year," and then it doesn't happen. You know what it does? It makes all people careless and thinking, "Oh, we got plenty of time. He's not going to come." I mean, has it come these 2,000 years, and we got mockers today saying, "Where's the promise of His coming?" But the truth of the matter is, you know, as Brother Guffey was sharing all the things going on in Mexico, the earthquake, all these hurricanes, all these perils, perilous times, we're in the last days.
Amen.
I mean, we need to be ready.
Amen.
Get your life right with the Lord. Make sure you're saved. Pray for your lost loved ones, because the time is short. It is short. We don't know how short it is, but I'm sure it's shorter than we think. Let's stand. We're going to pray. Father, tonight we're thankful that You've given us these appointed times that point us to your prophetic program, and we're thankful for the first coming of Jesus Christ, our Messiah. How that he died for our sins. He was buried, he rose again. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to empower us to go out into the harvest, to reap the harvest of souls. Lord, we have no excuse. You've given us everything we need to get the work done. And yet so many are sleeping. So many are not laboring for you. So many are lost without Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know the trumpet's going to sound. Anytime it's going to sound. This feast tomorrow is a reminder. It's a rehearsal of that last trump that's going to sound one day to call us home. The harvest is going to be over. Lord, as Pentecost was like a first fruit, we're in the main harvest now, but that time is coming to an end. This church age is coming to an end. And we know that a new dispensation is going to be started, a day that's going to be the most horrible, most terrible time on earth. And so many people are going to be destroyed during that time. Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us to examine our hearts and that we would consider our standing before you to make sure that we're saved, to make sure that we're right with you, to pray for our loved ones, our lost friends, our lost co-workers, that we would do whatever we can to reach them with the gospel, because we know our time is short. Lord, we thank you for this blessed hope that we have, though, as Christians, that we're going to be taken out of this present evil world. We're going to be given a home in heaven in our Father's house. Lord, we thank you for that promise that we have in Christ. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a good evening.